Okay, welcome to the Shiur Ma'aral Goriyah Parshas Hazino. From the beginning of the parsha, we're told Perek Lamed Beis Pasuk Dalet Hatzur Tom and Paul. God is the Rock; His work is perfect. He holds the Rock of Mishpat. Everything, all of His ways are justice. Kel Emuna. He's a faithful God, ve'ein ovel, and there's no injustice in anything that He does. Tzadik v'yosher hu, He is righteous, and He acts in a straightforward fashion. So on the pasuk, on the phrase in the pasuk, ve'ein ovel, that there's no injustice from God's perspective, Rashi writes, af l'rishoy mishalim schar tzedkasam ba'olam hazeh. Not only does God recompensate the tzaddikim for the good deeds that they've done, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu also pays back the Rishoyim, the wicked people, for the good deeds that they've done. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't play favorites. Everything is fair. If a tzaddik does a mitzvah, he gets rewarded. If a Rasha does a mitzvah, he gets rewarded. Everything is wonderful with the world. The only problem is, when you read Rashi carefully, or even maybe not so carefully, it doesn't sound like it's so fair. On Kel Emuna, the previous phrase, so God is a faithful God, so it says, L'shalim l'tzadikim tzedkastam l'olam haba. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the reward to the tzadikim in olam haba, in the next world. And when it comes to the next phrase, v'ein avel, about the Rishoyim, so it says, af l'rishoyim, Rashi says, af l'rishoyim, m'shalim schar tzedkastam ba'olam hazeh. With regard to the Rishoyim, they get paid back for the good deeds that they do in this world. Now, on the surface, that's not really fair, right? In other words, the Pasuk is trying to say, the way Rashi interprets it, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is fair and even-handed in everything that He does on the surface, so that tzaddikim maybe are getting a better deal out of it. Now, the tzaddikim are getting rewarded in Olam Haba, which is eternity, and the Rishoyim for the same mitzvah getting their reward in Olam Hazeh, which is a fleeting world which is not going to last forever. So on a certain level, it doesn't really seem fair. You know, so if you're trying to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is even-handed, in a certain sense Rashi is actually, you know, saying the opposite even in the course of saying it. So the Ma'aral poses this question, V'im Tomah, Kivon de Arasha Asa Mitzvah Gemurish K'mosha Asa HaTzadik. If the Rasha did exactly the same mitzvah the way the Tzadik did, Lama Yiyeh Mishalim L'Rasha Mitzvasto Ba'olam Hazeh, so why should they be paid differently for their mitzvahs? They did the same thing. So why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewarding the tzaddik in the next world and the Rasha in this one? Ve'ein zakashya. However, says the Ma'aral, it's not a question. Ki ad tzaddik asher hu tzaddik bakol, hinei ikaro hu tzaddik, ve'ho aveiro she'osva hu miyut ve'eino ikar. Ve'dover botel hu eitzos chusat tzaddik. A tzaddik who's overwhelmingly a person who's righteous, you know, the averos are a small part of that person's makeup, and overwhelmingly this is the person who's involved in righteous things. Therefore, yesh lo tashlumin ba'olam hazeh shehu dover she'eino ikar kemo sho avero shimiyuto eino ikar. Therefore, when the tzaddik performs that rare avera, the punishment for the Avera happens in this world, because the same way that the Avera is a minuscule part of what the tzaddik in his totality represents, so it makes sense that he should be paid back for that Avera in this world, which is the lesser, you know, the non-ikr, the non-essential part of the tzaddik's existence. Varasha hu hepech. Shimu Rasha Gomer Tashlumin Shalohu Bemakom Shu Iker, Fahu Ba'olam Abba. The Rasha is the opposite. If he's a total Rasha, so the punishment for the sin that he does is going to be in the world which, from his perspective, the world which is ultimately the Iker, the main thing, i.e., Olam Abba. Avala Mitzvah She'ena Ikaris. However, the mitzvah, which from this Rasha's point of view, is not the main part of his spiritual makeup. It's something that's kind of a minority, a miyut of what he does. So the mitzvah gets paid to him in this world, which is the world of Eino Iker, the world that represents that which is not the essence, you know, that which is not, you know, the fundamental aspect of existence. In other words, again, just to paraphrase what I think the Maral is saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is fair and certainly pays everyone in accordance with their deeds, but the currency in which the person is paid back depends on the nature of the person himself. In other words, it's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being unfair by rewarding the tzaddik for his mitzvah in the next world and rewarding the Rasha for his mitzvah in this world. It's just that that's the currency which attaches itself to tzaddik and Rasha respectively. In other words, the tzaddik's whole essence is all about mitzvahs. So in other words, where he's going to get rewarded for this mitzvah is that which is considered to be the world of, you know, the essential world, the world of Ikar. The Rasha's essence is vicious. The Rasha's essence is evil. So in other words, he's going to be paid back for the mitzvah in a place which, you know, in which the mitzvah, which is not considered to be the essential place. Well, the Maral isn't talking about that the tzaddik is doing it for the reward, but it is true that he gets a reward, right? Now, there's a distinction between those two things, right? It's not necessarily his reason for doing the mitzvah, but it is indeed a byproduct for the performance of the mitzvah. Yeah.
I really saw that expression and it just occurred to me.
Yeah.
That it's with a certain quality that if you do such and so much evil and such as evil, you lose your own Abba. So what choice did the Russia give HaKadosh Baruch Hu than to pay him for his minuscule good things in this world because he lost his own Abba? In other words, he doesn't have an Olam Haba. There's no Olam Haba to give him because he went. He did certain things that forced the Eber to take away his Olam Haba.
So I don't know that we're talking about a Russia that doesn't have an Olam Haba. I mean, that's a very extreme category of Rishoyim. We're talking about a Russia that's going to be punished, you know, to a large extent in Olam Haba.
No, I mean, he doesn't have the Olam Haba, the positive aspects, not the punishment.
Okay.
The positive aspects of Olam Haba.
Right.
In other words, if he'll have your hand.
Yeah. Right.
And if it's in Ashina, whatever we understand Olam Haba.
Yeah.
He says that there are certain things that we need in Olam Haba, and he lost his Olam Haba. So what's left to pay him except to pay him in this world?
Why can't he get the reward for that mitzvah in Olam Haba? It's not as if he, in theory, you know, he could be rewarded for it in Olam Haba. In other words, just largely he's being punished, but he'll be rewarded in that aspect. No, so why isn't that a possibility?
Because if somebody does such a not that I like being an example, but if a person does such a large quantity of evil, such a large percentage of evil, and with such a horrific attitude, then it says there are references all over the place that people lose that lose their own karma.
Right, yeah, but again, that's a small category of Rishayim. As most Rishayim have something in Olam Haba, and again, why shouldn't he be able to get those mitzvahs that he does,
but
you know, in Olam Haba?
But talking about a Russia that he's not the degree of riches that he won't get any Olam Haba, he'll get some Olam Haba.
Right.
So what reward is there to give him if you're giving him, by definition, categorically, you're giving him his Olam Haba in
this world.
I'm sorry, you're giving his reward in this world. What is it? What can you give him in the next world if you already gave him his reward in this world?
Right, Eino Chinami.
We have to be talking about a Russia that has no
Olam Haba. No, but I think that itself is the Maral's question. So why not give him all of those mitzvahs in Olam Haba? And as whatever mitzvahs he did, give it to him in Olam Haba. Why are you giving it to him in Olam Hazeh? Right? Let's let him have a little bit more in Olam Haba. Right? I think that's the question. Okay. Let's take...
Then we have to establish that what he did was really not that terrific. Even the good things that he did were not that terrific. Unless it's possible, theoretically, for someone to have done some very good things independently of the rest of his character.
Right, that's true. Enochinami. So, in other words, if the point that the Maral is making is that if overwhelmingly he's a Rasha, so even the few mitzvahs he does will be rewarded to him in Olam Hazeh, as opposed to Olam Haba. You know, that's the point Rashi is making, and the Maral is elaborating as to why that's an appropriate thing. Okay. Let's take a look. In Pasuk Yud Ches, so the Shira is describing how the Jewish people have moved away from worship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Pasuk says, Tzor Yelodcha Teshi, the rock who gave birth to you, Teshi, you forgot, Vatishkach Kel Mechol Alecha, and you forgot the God who had brought you out of the womb. That's the pasuk. So the word teshi, Rashi writes, teshi, the simple meaning means tishkach, right? That you forgot about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? That's the simple pshat. The Rabbu Seinu Darshu, however, says Rashi, Chazal explain homiletically, kishibole heitiv lachem, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming to give, to do good things to you, atem machisin lefanov, you act in a way which could get him angry, umatishim kocho milahetiv lochem, and you weaken his power, his ability to be able to give to you. In other words, Chazal explained that the word teshi means not that you will forget, but that you will weaken. And the simple reading of the pasuk according to Chazal seems to be, Sur yaladcha teshi, the rock who gave birth to you, you have weakened. You know, kaviyachol, in a certain sense, it sounds like you've weakened the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's not as able to give to you as was before you sinned. Now, right off the bat, even before we see the Maral, we appreciate that that's a very startling statement. You know, to speak about again, it's hard to even get the words out of one's mouth. You know, to speak about kaviyachol, weakening the Ribbono Shel Olam, sapping the strength of the Ribbono Shel Olam. I mean, it seems like an impossible thing to say. What exactly is meant by this statement? So Anders the Maral writes a short piece, but a piece which I think is a very important one. Writes the Maral, V'im Toma, Eich Yitochin Lomar Ki Hei Matishin Kochol Chas V'Sholom. How is it possible to speak about weakening the Ribbono Shel Olam, which is what the simple explanation in Rashi seems to be? Haloksivim chatosa matifalo. After all, doesn't the pasuk in Eov say explicitly, if you've sinned, what do you think that, what kind of impact do you think that has on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? You and I sin, it doesn't hurt HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it doesn't bother HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the way in which it would bother another human being. So, what does it mean over here, through Yelon Choteshi, that Matishin Kochel Shomala, that somehow our sins are weakening HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Koach? So that's the Maral, Omnam Diktiku Lomash Shehei Matishin HaKoach. If you pay careful attention to the way this Sifri, which is the source of this statement, and Rashi expressed this statement, they don't say Matishin HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we weaken HaKadosh Baruch Hu in some way. Matishin Kocho Milahetiv Lochem. We weaken the koach, the strength or the ability that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to be able to do good things to us. So what does that mean? Rav Zalomar, HaKoach Shehu Me'ito Metishin, Lo Chas V'Sholom Shehu Metishin Oso Yisbarach, Kilo Nemar Matishin Oso Rak Matishin Kocho. It doesn't say that our sins weaken HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chas V'Sholom, we can't even, you know, speak about weakening HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but our sins weaken the koach, which I guess you would best translate as ability. You would, you know, it weakens the ability, the strength that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to be able to give to us. So what does that mean? Still sounds a little bit, you know, edgy to be able to say something like that. So he explains as follows. V'da ki inyan zeh shekaasher yesh mekabel yesh nosin. V'kaasher ein mekabel, dahainu kaasher ein Yisrael ru'uyin lekabel, oz ki ilu ein kan mekabel. V'kaasher ein mekabel yisula koach hanosin. The way to understand this, says the Maral, is as follows. You could be the most powerful, benevolent being in the entire world, and you have the absolute strength and the ability to give to others, and you have the absolute desire to give to others. But what happens if there are no others? Right? A person is a tremendous Baal Tzedakah. Right? He has a portfolio, it's unbelievable. He has, you know, so much money, you know, he has money to burn to be able to give away. And he's benevolent, he has a heart of gold. So you drop the guy on a deserted desert island with just a palm tree, and you don't give him a cell phone or any internet access or anything like that, and you say, okay, go be a Baal Tzedakah. So how on earth is he supposed to be a Baal Tzedakah? You know, you could be a benevolent person from here to tomorrow and have all the money in the world, but if there's no one to receive the Tzedakah, you can't be a Baal Tzedakah. It's just not going to work. So that, says the Maral, is essentially what we're talking about over here. When Klal Yisrael don't deserve to be beneficiaries of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's goodness, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the absolute ability to give. You know, there's nothing holding back Hashem's strength. And, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu certainly wants to give. But the fact that Klal Yisrael are not doing the Ratzon Hashem, and therefore they're not worthy recipients, means that, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have the opportunity to be able to give to us. It's not a chesaron, it's not a lacking in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ability. It's not a lacking in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's strength or desire. We're certainly not a lacking in HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. But it's as if there is no opportunity. If we're not deserving, so we're not worthy recipients. Zehu atoshas koach. This is what it means in Rashi when we speak about the weakening of the strength. Again, it's not the weakening of Hashem's strength. I guess the best way to translate it, in light of the way the Maral is explaining it, is that it's the weakening of the opportunity. It takes away the opportunity for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be able to give to us because we're not worthy recipients. Ki kasher ein kan mekabel, oz lo nimsa koach poel. Right? If there's no one who's a worthy recipient, there's no way for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give to us. V'davar zeh inyan niflo ma'od. And concludes the Maral, this is a very wondrous, a very, very important idea which is being expressed over here. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's not hampered in any way except to the extent to which we hamper ourselves and, you know, we make ourselves undeserving to be recipients of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In Rabbi Hartman's notes, he quotes the Maral in the Sivos Olam, again one of the other works of the Maral, where he talks about this a little bit more. And I just want to get an appropriate quote. Where he writes, Hishtokikus hamashpia el hamushpa. There's a desire that the one who wants to give to others has for someone to be able to be mekabel, for someone to be able to receive. Ki hamashpia gamken yevshelo belo mekabel shehu mashpia elav. Right? The one who wants to give can only give if there's someone who's able to receive. It's Sarach Lo Mekabel, and somebody has to be able to receive it on the receiving end, right? So, you know, that exactly is the idea which is being expressed over here as well by the Maharal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in a sense, needs us, in a sense, to be able to benefit us in the best possible way, because again, if there's no mekabel, if there's no one to be able to receive, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with all of the greatest intentions and all of the greatest ability, is simply not able to give to us.
This concept of the weakening of God, the Kabbalists talk about it in terms of the soul. They say the soul moves towards to escape the body because of our sins and imperfections. Does that equate with the soul, with the peace of God?
I think that's a little bit of a different idea. They were talking about the idea that the soul yearns to be free of its earthly prison, you know, so to speak. Here, this is actually, if you read Rashi literally, you'd actually be saying something far more daring than that. You'd be saying that when the Jewish people are not acting properly, you know, as it were, they weaken HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Again, the Maharal is taking pains to tell us that's not what it really means. You know, it just means that, you know, we're denying HaKadosh Baruch Hu the opportunity to give to us. So in that sense, we weaken the opportunity that he otherwise would have to give to us. It certainly doesn't speak of weakening anything with regard to HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself.
Are you saying that the Kavod Nifla is that God has certain needs?
I think by Dover Nifla, I think the Maharal is actually saying the opposite of that, meaning, you know, you would have thought reading Chazal that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, has certain, it sounds like Chazal is saying that there's certain limitations that can be placed on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, Kiviyachol, which again is a very, very disturbing statement taken literally. So in other words, I think the Maharal is saying, you know, this is an Inyan Nifla Me'od, because the way I'm explaining it, we don't have to, you know, we don't have to come to that where we're explaining that there's somehow some kind of deficiency, even a temporary deficiency, which is created vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, the only sense in which there's Hatoshas Korach is that we're taking an opportunity away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But this idea, on some level, is very similar to an idea, I think the phrase is coined by the Rabbeinu Bechaye, originally, but it's an idea which has floated around a lot, especially around Rosh Hashanah time, namely the concept that ein melech below am, right? There's no such thing as a king unless the king has a nation, has followers, right? So, meaning, what's the notion of being mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah, that we coronate HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah? Why do we need him to? Why does he need us to coronate him? You know, he's a king because he's a king, and he doesn't need us. And the answer is, you know, the king needs subjects. You know, in the end of the day, if the king is just a king by himself without having subjects, that's not really considered to be a king, right? So, to some extent, the Maharal is saying something similar, not with regard to Melech and Am, but with the whole idea of Nosen and Mekabel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give to us. But if we're not a fitting Kli Kibul, if we're not a fitting receptacle for that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give to us, if we're not fitting recipients for the goodness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give to us, it in a certain sense hampers, not HaKadosh Baruch Hu fundamentally, but it hampers the opportunity that Hashem has to give to us, because, you know, it's like the guy on the desert island. You know, there's simply no one to be a worthy recipient, you know, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, you know, desire to, you know, to give, to want to pass on. What do we mean in terms of HaKadosh Baruch Hu having a desire? You know, so again, this is beyond our understanding, but we know the Ramchal writes something somewhat similar in explaining why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Says the Ramchal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate Tov, is the ultimate goodness, and, you know, for someone to really actualize their goodness to the ultimate extent, it means you have to give to others, and that means that there have to be others, right? So in other words, had HaKadosh Baruch Hu not created the world, it would have interfered with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's goodness in the fullest sense of the term, right? For HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be the ultimate Tov, he has to be able to be mativ. In order to be mativ, you have to have recipients. In order to have recipients, you have to have a universe. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the universe, says the Ramchal, in order to be able to be mativ, you know, to bring to actualization that concept of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being Tov. And that itself requires explanation. I mean, it sounds like, on the surface level, that the Ramchal is saying that somehow HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a need for the universe, which is also a very troubling thing to say offhand. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need anything or anyone, right? So, I'm not sure exactly what the answer is, right? But clearly there's a certain point in all these discussions where we're just over our head, you know, and we have to just admit to ourselves that we don't fully understand everything that's going on over here. But one thing we certainly see from the Maharal is that the concept of Hatoshas Koach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tzur Yolod Choteshi has to be understood in a far less literal way than one would think just reading the Rashi itself. Okay, this is the final weekday shiur on Maral Gurayeh Parshas HaShavua. The final shiurs we do every year will be Leil Simchas Torah, you know, between Minchan Ma'ariv, Shmini Atzeres, and Simchas Torah. So we'll do the Maral on Vezos HaBracha, and then you know, we'll announce the mystery sefer for next year that we'll do starting Parshas Bereishis. You know, and we'll find out as soon as I can figure it out. You know, we'll find out what the sefer is that we'll be going through next year.